Okay, well, good morning to each one of you. I'm excited to share with you what I think God has been working through my life, especially the last year. And I'm thankful for the excitement that he has given me for life as well. And I guess I want to challenge you guys this morning. Do you have an excitement for life? Are you excited? Do you know why you're here? Do you know your purpose here? And today my goal is not, I want God to really flow through me here as I share this, because a lot of this, I guess I need to be honest with you, a lot of it did not originally come from the Word of God. A lot of it came from books and things that I was listening to and hearing. And while I was doing that, I started to realize that there's so many principles here that I was hearing that were actually Bible-based. And when I made that connection, it got me even more excited about what life really is. Because there's so many people out there that don't even know God, and they have these wonderful things that happen to them. And when I started to follow the train and the pattern of life that they live, some of them Christian, some of them not Christian, it began to dawn on me that a lot of what was happening because they were using biblical foundations, and they might believe in God, but it's not necessarily that they, but it's foundational stuff that works, and it's proven to work. But what really excites me is when you look at that and you understand that it works through the natural. I mean, it's there. God has set it in place, has set it in motion, and it's gonna, I mean, it's the way the world works. If you tap into that, and then you tap into the supernatural of what I call that God has, how we can become an incredible force that I don't think can be stopped. And so some of the things that I want to share this morning, what I would like for you to do is, I think that there's something within each of you that you know that God has put on your life, that this is who I'm supposed to be, or this is what he's calling me to do right now. Maybe it's being a mom, or maybe it's just working at the job that you're doing, or maybe you're supposed to exercise more. Just something that you feel that God is showing you that, hey, take this step. Because I believe that if you do that, the next one's going to open up. And then the next one. And so what I want you to do this morning is what I'm sharing with you, I'd like for you to grab that one thing that you're thinking about and just see if this applies to your life. See if it applies to you in that area. Because I look at life kind of in three different areas. You have the spiritual, which is the call of God on your life. Then you have your vocation or your job. And then also your health. And I think all three of those are very, very important to us as Christians. And you can run with one and not the other. And you can serve, I mean, you can actually be really good with one. But if you can combine those three into what God has for you and wants for you, and you bring those into one, which I think so often we separate them. Our job is not supposed to be separated from our life with God. and even our health, taking care of us, taking care of our body, or who God has given us. I mean, it's a part that God has given to us. That's why I want to say it might not even be a spiritual something. You might not know exactly what God has called you to, but grab hold of something and see if what I want to show you today, if you think it'll help you accomplish where you want to go and what you want to do with your life. We're coming to the end of a year. A lot of people make goals. That's great. But let's know where we're going and why we're doing it, and go with it like that. So my goal today is not necessarily just to be a challenge to you. I want it to be something that motivates you to change, something that puts that burning desire in you that I'm going to do this, and no matter what, I'm going to do it until God shows me something else. So do you know who you are? Do you know who you're called to be and what you're called to do? There's a few. There's some verses that I'm going to be putting out in the here, and I'd like for you guys to. There's like five or six of them that I'd like for you to, somebody to take and read them, and the message today is on the choices that you make, the power of choice that you have in your life, and how it affects you as a person in everything that you do. In studying this topic, from my own personal experience, I've learned that the only person that is stopping me from becoming the giant that I want to be is me. Nobody else. And until you can take absolute and full responsibility that it's you and only you, you can't move forward. Just remember that. You have to, even if there's bad things that have happened in your life, those things, from this day forward, you can decide what you're going to do and who you're going to be. Also discovered that the only person that's stopping God from working and making things happen in your favor is you. I believe that God is almighty and all-powerful, but I also believe that he gave us the power of choice, and that if you do not use your mind and choose your dreams or the dreams that God has given you, he cannot do, or you cannot do, what he has planned for your life. It first of all comes down to me as a person, you choosing what you're going to do, how you're going to, and I hope that all of that comes from God within us, but he's going to speak to us. If not, you become your own greatest enemy. The Bible is full of verses that actually supports this fact, and Proverbs is huge in this. And I've have a few verses here that I want to put out, and I'll get you guys to read them. They're not all going to be in sequence. I'll probably be speaking between each one. The first one that I want to look at is Proverbs 23, verse 7. Somebody grab that. Actually, why don't I go down through and I'll get each one of the verses. And if you guys want to call it out, then when the time comes, I'll get used to share that. Proverbs 23:7. Galatians 6:7. Matthew 7:7-12. Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 29:18. I think that's the last one. Proverbs 23:7. I'm going to turn to that in the King James. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But thy heart is not with thee. The first part that I want to take is, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's been probably one of my biggest verses that I keep thinking about over and over again. And we've actually had quite a few messages recently which talked somewhat about that. And what this verse is actually talking about, it's not talking about the stuff that you make, what you think about in your, or like the choices that you make. So like, you know, say you're at work and you are trying to decide if you're going to do this project or this project. It's not talking about that. It's actually talking about that subconscious mind of yours. And 90% of how you live your life every day is done in the subconscious. And that is actually what this, I believe that is what this verse is talking about. It's what's going on inside your head. Although the choices that you make every day do resemble what you think about in there. But that is, what a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think about that, what you're thinking about every day, and you look at your life right now, is it the person that you want to be? I just want you to stop and think about that. Are you being the person that you want to be? Because if you're not, then what are you thinking about? What's in there? Galatians 6:7.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap.
There you have the law of sowing and reaping. Some people call it the law of cause and effect. It's saying that what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Again, what you're thinking about is part of that. What you do every day is part of that. So if you're not getting the results that you want, you're not first planting the correct seed. Now, there is, this one here takes time. Some things take a lot. Some of them actually take years. But I do believe that there is a benefit pretty much right away as well if you start changing your mindset. I know for me, it's been at least a year process so far. And when I think about the choices that I make, I actually don't feel like I'm very qualified to speak on this because there's a lot of things that I look at in my life and I'm like, man, if I could just get that together. But the encouraging thing is that when I think about how I felt and where I was a year ago to how I feel today, I know there's a difference. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a difference. Matthew 7:7-12. Thank you. Here it talks about asking and receiving. And this verse, actually a couple years ago, kind of ticked me off. Because I was asking for something, and it didn't happen. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, God, you promised it. Why isn't it happening? And it's kind of funny when you stop and think about how I think that this in this concept, how when God the way that God says that he has put a part of himself in you, and I actually think that this is. This is something that shows up in our lives, and we don't even think about it. And I'll just give you an example. For me, if say I'm out on I'm out driving, and I see this guy out there with, you know, begging for money or something like that, or I see somebody that all they do is, I know that they're strong, I know that they're healthy, there's nothing wrong with them, and still. They don't have a job. They don't do anything except watch TV. Just there's no purpose to their life. And I'm like, come on, man, get a job. Like, do something. Do something valuable. But if you stop and think about it, that man is hungry. He might not know where his next meal is. And still, I'm like, do something. The fact of the matter is he could. And if he would go work, he'd have something to eat. I think God works exactly the same way. God thinks exactly the same way about us sometimes. You know, he's saying, why don't you, like, he tells us, we're asking for something, and he's like, I want to give it to you, but why don't you just do this? Why don't you do what I'm asking you to do? That's what's holding it back. And you can have, I'm just waiting to pour out my blessings on you. And, so, I don't know. I was thinking about this verse, and I was like, I wasn't quite sure how to tie it all together because there's a part of me I don't believe that God is judgmental toward people, but at the same time, there's different verses in the Bible that God was like, look, I'm not doing this until you do this, and I actually think that that's how he works. In our lives. So if you're not getting the results that you want, What aren't you doing that God has already asked for you, asked of you to do? One of the things that's easy for me to do is I want these results, but still, I love to read the news, or you know, watch a movie here or there, or like do stuff that I know there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not stuff that is filling your mind with good stuff. And that's something that I guess I've been learning a lot in the last year, is instead of allowing that clutter to be in there, take it away. And for a long time, I actually used the excuse, well, I don't know how to delete this app off my phone. I'm not techie. Well, Martha finally was like, just here, give it to me, and she did it. So, but it works. You decide, and you do it, and it's amazing how it works. So, help your spouse out. I love the way that she challenges me and my life. I have an analogy that I want to use here, and I just want you to look at this and think about it. You're one of these three. So I'm going to call this life. And I'm going to call these guys. So this is Larry. This is Bob, and this is Ben. Now, these guys work at the same job, have pretty much the same things in this part of their life. They're same income, go to the same church. They're pretty much the same. But there's some things here that, I'm doing this because I want to show you a little bit how life works when you make choices. When you keep making choices, how it takes time till you start to see the results. So I'm going to take Bob here at first. And he wishes that he could be better at what he does. He knows that he can. He knows that he could be better, but hey, it's life. And he even comes across great ideas now and then, and he commits to them, but it only lasts for a week or so. He might read something inspiring every couple weeks. Other than that, it's news, TV, Facebook. None of these things are wrong. He knows he has a good woman, but life is life. He might go on a date with her every now and then, tell her she's beautiful every couple weeks. And at his job, he's a good worker, but he doesn't really put that much thought into what he could do better. He feels like he has a decent relationship with his boss. So, all of those things, you know, he makes choices. And this is what happens through his life. Just a flat line. The only thing about it, and we'll take this from like a 2-year perspective. The only thing about it is he's out here. He's 2 years older. He's still the same man. Except he's 2 years older. Now, Ben, he wishes it could be better. But he thinks life's kind of out of his control. He had some bad experiences, some failures. But, hey, he keeps plugging along. He sees a good article, reads a little on it, but then he remembers what happened last time when he tried something and he failed. And he felt like, what's the use? He knows he has a good woman, but he thinks if she would just do this and this for him, it'd be so much better. And it gives her a cold shoulder. At his job, he knows how to work hard, but he gets sidetracked a lot. Spends a lot of time talking when he should be working. This is life now. Larry, he knows he can be better, so he decides he's going to read something inspiring every day, might listen to some good podcasts, something to really fill his mind with something good. Something that stimulates his mind. He hears a good idea, he writes it down, figures out how he can start doing it. Reads a good aspiring book, maybe 30 minutes a day, 10 pages. When he sees his, he thanks God for every day. He resolves that he's going to do something for her every day, or tell her that he loves her. Sure that lets her know she's a special woman. And he makes it a priority to go on a date with her at least every 2 weeks. At his job, he works hard. He has good communication with his boss. When he's given something to do, he does it quickly, and he's always looking for ways to do it better and to do it faster. He's invested in with his boss. Now, the thing that I want you to do, think about is all three of these guys have been living this. 3 months, 6 months, a year. Larry's actually getting kind of frustrated that he don't see more results. But he keeps doing it anyway. Bob just does the same old. Ben, well, I think we all know what happens there. Life isn't very good. The thing about it is, through this time, if you're this person, it can look pretty discouraging sometimes because it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of difference being made. But facts are that you do that, it's going to start looking like this. It's proven time and time again, and it will happen. Bob, he's treading water. It's too often where we can find ourselves, even as Christians. I think that's actually where a lot of us as Christians are. Ben, choices he's making, where's it going to go? And if you take this and you look at 2-year time span, this might be 6 months. This might be a year. This might be a year and a half. It's not a whole lot of difference in there. But in 2 years, you'll be able to tell a difference. I'm determined to be that man. And I want to challenge you with that too. We don't just, and I want to look at it from the church perspective as well. We don't just want to be this church. We want to be that church that knows where we're heading. And the fact is that each one of us, while we're, if you have a church, you're probably going to have some like this. But more we can get on this, the bigger difference we're going to see. It's one person at a time. And it comes down to you. I asked Martha to share a little bit on her experience. So I'll let her do that. First of all, I want to say I love this woman. I'm incredibly proud of who she is and what she's making me, helping me become.
The thing about choices, probably when it started for me, is about 3 years ago. And what started it was our marriage. I used to always be sort of proud of our marriage. And I'd look at other couples around me and see them struggling, and I'd be like, why don't they just work it out? You know, like, and then this little thing called business happened. And people, we said, it's going to be hard. You know, it's going to affect your relationships. And I remember thinking to myself that we got it together. We're good. Well, a year into this, they were right, by the way. And for about a year and a half, I used to look at our marriage, and I'm like, what happened to us? Like, I didn't even recognize us. And we were on this vicious cycle of hurting each other and not giving to each other. And it felt out of control. And I didn't know, we both didn't know how to break it. And so Elmina, that one Sunday, you shared the book, Switch on Your Brain. And I was like, I think at that point, I chose to buy that book. And I was like, I need something. I need to change. And it was also at the point in the business where all of a sudden, orders weren't coming in. And I stopped and thought to myself, do I really want him to fail in this? because up until then I felt like I was competing with the business. And so at that point I was like, I don't want him to fail. I want to support him and fight with him. And so I started reading and started supporting him. And then the beginning of 2016, we challenged each other to start trying to be more positive. And that whole year, we tried to keep each other accountable. And that, I think, was the biggest thing for us to get us back to a great marriage, like to just focus on the positive. And I feel like I have such a long ways to go yet. But I think the biggest thing for me is, so it's like a GPS. Here's your positive. And while I might get off track quite often, I always have it in my mind that, all right, I'm supposed to be focusing on the positive. And it steers me back. And I think even more than where I am today, it's the direction I'm headed. And I want to be one of those people that when you're around, you're life-giving and you're encouraging. And I think if we can become that, we're going to be a powerful impact to the people around us. And also, another big thing for me was what you put in your brain is what you're going to get out. So I started reading Nelson's business books, which I don't have a business. And some of the stuff was like, how does this even apply to me? But good principles and good, I started listening to Zig Ziglar. And he's probably the most positive guy I know or I've known. So that's really, really good stuff. And I'm once again proud of our marriage. And I think there's nothing wrong with being proud of your marriage. But I do realize that it takes a lot of work and not to hold it here and just, keep being positive to each other. And I'm also so proud of Nelson for making his business work. I have full confidence that it'll continue to grow and thrive, and I'm so proud of him for that. A little story on how being positive is all about perspective. This summer, we were at our cabin, and we're sitting around the campfire, and all night long, one of my brothers was in the way of the smoke, and we kept sort of laughing at him that no matter what spot he chose, you know, the smoke just kept billowing over him. So he's there reclining in his big old recliner chair, and after one large cloud of smoke goes over him, and he's there, his eyes blinking, you know, and coughing. He's like, well, at least the mosquitoes aren't biting me.
Thanks, hon. Yeah, the one thing that I gotta say is, and it's shame on me, is I don't believe that I was the leader that I should have been. And I'm proud of her for what she did, because I know that as a man, I'm supposed to lead. And it took her to help me through. So if any of you guys or struggling with something within your marriage, you can make a difference in it. Even if you feel that if only he would do this, it would be so much better. You can make a difference. And because for me, when I saw what she was putting into her mind and how it was changing her, I still had my things to worry about, but it made me want what she has. It made me proud of her. And I wanted that. And she is incredibly self-disciplined. with her running, when she sets her mind to something, it happens. And she's a huge role model for me in that part of my life. And incredibly proud and blessed to have a woman like that. God knew what he was doing. So, time's moving fast. I'm gonna cut a little couple of things here that I just want to bring out. One of the things that I'm learning. And I have a few different things that have helped me, and I guess I wanted to share those with you as well. I'm not going to have the time to really go into them all. The one I have here is you need to think like a winner. It's a choice that you have to make every single day. To think like a winner. Actually, welcome the failures. Because did you know that if you don't fail, you can't grow? You need failures in order to be able to grow. Now, I'm not saying that you can't learn from other people's experience, learn from books and stuff like that. But I do believe that the fastest way, and if you're not... If something's always going the way that you want, there's just not that depth there. You learn from your failures. The tragedy is that we make mistakes. So often we don't realize it was a mistake, and we keep doing it over and over again. And we expect different results. Whenever you fail... stop moping around. Look at it as a way that does not work and resolve that you're not going to do it that way again and try something else. I love the story of Thomas Edison when he was doing the light bulb, when he invented the light bulb. They say he tried over 10,000 times when he was... throughout that invention. And it was around 5,000 failures that a young journalist came up to him and was like, why he keeps trying? What's the use? And he just simply said to him, look, said, young man, I have not failed. I have simply learned 5,000 ways that do not work. If you look at everything as a learning experience, you will move forward and new ideas will keep coming and you will become that winner. In fact, you'll become an unstoppable force, for sure, if you have other people with you on the journey. The next thing I have is create habits. Create habits. Subconscious. And habits take a long time. But the thing that I want to do is I want to start doing things. I want to start thinking positive. I want to start just automatically when I see or when I come home evenings. Know what? You know, go give my wife a hug. Make those things become automatic within your life. And because it penetrates that subconscious mind of yours. And it's a good thing. Create a goal. Be clear on what you want. A goal is a clear understanding of what you want and how you will accomplish it. I would even take it a step farther and I'd say write it down. Say a written goal is 10 times more powerful than an unwritten goal. Some would say an unwritten goal is merely a wish, and a wish is a fantasy, and a fantasy is most likely never going to happen. So, we're going into the new year. Do you know what you want? If you really want it, how about you write it down? And then look at it every single morning. The law of attraction. You're a living magnet. You attract into your life people and circumstances that are in harmony with your dominant thoughts. What you think about and who you are, you'll attract people like that. If you don't have friends, or you feel lonely, or you're stressed out, or you think the world's out to get you, you connect with those people. You find those people. If you become that positive person, people want to be with you. So, I'm just going to throw this out. I was going to run a short 5-minute clip, but I'm running out of time here. If you want to listen to something on YouTube that's really good, listen to The 7 Mental Laws by Brian Tracy. It's on YouTube, part 2. Talks about how, whether you know it or not, what you're putting out attracts. It's amazing how it works. The last thing that I want to do here is there's some people here in church that I just want to acknowledge because to me they have changed. They have helped to change my perspective on life, and I'm thankful for each one of you. I think it was about exactly a year ago, Steve King. I was talking to you, and I was kind of feeling a little depressed about business, about life. And I told him I made a lot of mistakes. And he challenged me with the thought. He was like, what'd you learn from them? I'll never forget that. Thank you. I've thought about that many times over the last year when things didn't go the way that I wanted it to. Amanda, I'm not sure when it started, but I think it was just different things that you've said to my wife. And I know that you read, and I know that you love to learn, and I want to bless you in that. You can see when people want to be more, and keep doing what you're doing. Galen's not here, but I just want to declare it. I love his desire to learn and understand the spiritual world. Something that has been a challenge to me. Some very new ideas. Not always sure what to think of them, but I do know one thing for sure. He knows how to make the devil run, and I want to do that. I want to learn that as well. Ernie and Amina. When I think about you guys, at one time I didn't really know yet. I yeah, I don't know what it was, but over the last year, year and a half, there's just, I know that your desire to learn and to do and to be more. I enjoy talking to you guys and learning the wisdom and stuff that you guys spill out and what you teach in your messages. We have our small group. I'm learning to enjoy our small group more and more. And Dale, you as a pastor, the way that you lead, and I love the positive that you bring out. You're a good man. And keep leading the way that you are, and God will do great things through you. I'm excited about this church. I really do think that we're going to go somewhere. We're going to go far. Because God's on our side. The guys group, too, that I hang out with some mornings, haven't done it very much in the last couple months. But I enjoy our times together. It's fun hearing you, how you want to be more and what you're learning and experiencing. So I just want to bless each one of you here that represents part of this church. I know it's been kind of a long, sometimes it looks back when you know, for us since 2013, doesn't feel like we've made a whole lot of progress. But I really think that we're in this stage. I do. One of these times, it's going to break open. We're going to see it. So, I want to bless you guys. Thank you for being a part of the church. Thank you for what you mean to us. And let's just pray.